Hazel's 76-year-old father had bought a doll, a life-size woman doll, the kind designed to provide a sexual experience that came as close as possible to having sex with a living, or maybe, Hazel thought, a more apt analogy was a very, very recently deceased, female. Its arrival crate bore an uncanny resemblance to a no-frills pine coffin. It made Hazel recall the passage from Dracula, where he ships himself overseas via boat. The ravaged crate now sat in the middle of his living room, surrounded by an array of tools, both legitimate and makeshift. One of the items on the floor was a can opener. Getting the doll out by himself had required tenacity. There were small pieces of chipped wood everywhere. They made it seem like the crate had harbored an animal that had escaped and was prowling the house. The mechanical crawl of her father's rascal mobility scooter announced his arrival behind her, but Hazel's eyes had locked upon the crate. It was big enough for her to climb inside. She could sleep in it. Now that Hazel was technically homeless, she was looking for available bed potential in everything she saw. So could I sleep inside that or upon it? Suddenly seemed like a great question to ask about everything in sight. Maybe the crate would bring the best sleep of her life. It might feel nice to sleep without any extra space, especially after 7 years of trying to sleep with the most space possible between her and the other person in her bed, who was always Byron. In the box, there'd be no room to fidget around, no trying to attempt the best position, since only one position would be possible. Maybe she'd be able to just lie down and shut off, recharge like one of the 1,000 electronic devices Byron owned. Owned was a simplification. He'd also invented them. Byron had founded and built a technology's empire. His wealth and power were a terrifying glimpse of the infinite. She'd left Byron for good that morning, along with all forms of available funds or identification. Hazel understood that things were not going to end well for her. Her father would let her stay with him, wouldn't he? It was selfish to ask for asylum. There was nothing harmless about Byron, but she liked to feel she had no other choice. Marriage to an eccentric tech multimillionaire had been kind of isolating. Her best option was not to think about how she was putting her father's life at risk. But she didn't want to think about the current situation in her father's living room either. There was actually nothing she wanted to think about, so she decided to administer a series of firm bites to her bottom lip and really try to focus on the pain.
Hayes!
Her father's voice was a celebratory roar, void of embarrassment.
How the hell are you? I didn't hear you come in.
I let myself in, Hazel said. Walking up his driveway, Hazel had felt presumptuous entering her father's home with a suitcase, but now, seeing the sizable detritus his newest guest had brought with her, she found some comfort in the fact that she wasn't putting him out luggage-wise, even if her presence might be endangering his life. She hadn't come with a giant casket, for instance. Instead of greeting him, Hazel went to the window and peeked out of the blinds to make sure she hadn't been mistaken. I didn't see your car parked anywhere, so I figured you weren't home.
Sold it, her father barked. I'm not going to need to leave the house much anymore. I'm entering a sort of honeymoon phase with Diane here.
You sold the station wagon to buy a sex doll?